Well, open with me in the book of James, please. The book of James. Last week we talked about trials. We talked about trials and how God uses trials to develop us, but Satan seeks to destroy us. Okay? God is in the development process. We're in God's gym, as it were. We're being trained by Him. We're being molded and shaped and into Christ's likeness. And in this process, He wants to develop us. But Satan wants to tear us down. Satan doesn't want us to develop into Christ-likeness and righteousness and holiness and recipients of all the God, all the spiritual blessings that God has for us. He wants to seek to rob us and to trip us up and steal and kill and destroy and all these things that he is tries to be good at, okay? And so trials are part of our Christian walk. They're the way God molds us and strengthens us. Well, this morning, we want to see that what Satan designs for our undoing, God often uses for our strengthening and spiritual benefit. Okay? Satan will try to put together a strategy to undo us, but God turns that around, and hence this morning's message is turn the tables. It's an old saying, some of you who are my age understand that concept, but turn the tables. Satan's throwing a strategy at you, and you just want to turn the table on him. And you want to be in God's blessing and God's promise and God's provision. So we're trying to turn the table here. And we're going to see this morning how we could turn the table when temptation comes our way. That we turn the table so that it goes back to Satan and it doesn't tear us down. It doesn't tear us down. The story told about a dog, a country dog, a dog out on the farm. He found this big bone, a big delicious bone. Dogs love bones. I don't know why they love bones, but they love bones. He had this big juicy bone in his mouth, and he's strutting around in the farm, in the barnyard there, like, this is my bone, yeah, right, don't touch my bone, this is my bone. And he comes up to the shore of the lake, and he looks down, and he sees an even bigger bone, and he drops the bone, because he wants that other bone. He failed to realize it was his own reflection. And all too often, Satan distracts us and attempts us to go after what appears to be bigger and better, only to realize we've lost what we've had. And friends, that's what temptation does. Temptation seeks to keep you off balance. Temptation comes to tear you down and to distract you and to cause you to lose what you have. There's an old saying, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Well, that's not what Satan would want you to believe. Satan would want you to believe those two in the bush are better and you need to drop the one you have to go after those two. Isn't that what he told Adam and Eve? Isn't that what he told Eve with the fruit? Oh, God doesn't want you to have it because you'll just be like him. When David saw Bathsheba up as he was up on the roof, David, that's pretty tempting. Why don't you go for it? Friends, temptation comes. As I've said, sin takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you wanted to pay. And friends, that door starts with temptation. We want to talk about temptation. I know we talked about temptation about 3 or 4 months ago, but let's take another look at that because I really believe we need to get a grip on this so we do not stumble. Because people are watching us to see if your following Christ is real. To see if following Christ is worth it. And friends, we are the testimony to others. We come here to the passage in James. Read with me, follow with me as we read verse 13 to 18. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be the kind of first fruits among his creatures. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the warning. Thank you for your protection. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Typically in the back of your bulletin you have notes and there's usually a blank, but today there's no blank. Somehow the person who put the bulletin together forgot the blank. His mind went blank and forgot to put the blank. So, what Satan designs for our undoing, God often uses for our strengthening and spiritual benefit. It doesn't quite make sense, but how does that work? Well, I think there's a couple things that three things that we need to really think through on this. And the first one is this. We need to stop making excuses. Stop making excuses when it comes to your sin. Stop making excuses when it comes to your struggles. Stop making excuses when you fail or you call it a... I read a blog this week. I'm just running late. No, you're not. You're being rude, is what the title of the thing was. You know, we make excuses for being late. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses for where you're falling short. Admit it. Take responsibility. He says here, look, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Now, I would never do that, would you? I would never blame God. What did Adam say? The woman you gave me, Lord, made me eat. For God, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Now friends, let me say this. No one can escape temptation, but temptation in and of itself is not sin. It's if we respond to it that it becomes sin. If we walk away from it, it's not sin. And I know that for sure because Matthew 4:1 says that the Lord Jesus was led to the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. But notice in this passage here, what's missing? Who's missing? There's no mention of what Flip Wilson used to say, a comedian, for those of you who are older, the devil made me do it. See, I believe the implication is right there, right in our face, that the devil is not responsible for how I respond to temptation. Now, he could put a lot of pressure, he could put a lot of pleasing things in our face, but ultimately, who is responsible for the step towards temptation? I am. I am. Not my mother, not my father, not my brother, not my sister, not my wife, not anyone else, but me. And we continue to live in a shifting blame society. You know, it's the Republicans, it's the Democrats, it's the Independents, it's the pro this or the pro that or those who didn't vote or this and that or whatever would be. No. Take responsibility for yourself. I remember some years ago I was carpooling with a friend when I worked at the post office. And he was bemoaning the fact that how the schools in East LA, like Roosevelt and Garfield, don't have the latest equipment and don't have the latest books. He says, yeah, you're right. But it's still no excuse for the high absentee rate. It's still no excuse for the low graduation rates. We have enough. There are enough graduating, enough doing well to tell us that there is a bigger problem here. And friends, there is a bigger problem when instead of blaming somebody else, let's take responsibility. Let's say, hey, it's me. It's me. He says it very loud and clear. Remember when Nathan confronted David with his sin of adultery and murder? And then what was Nathan's words that struck the heart of David? You are the man. Now friends, let me tell you this. As you look in the mirror, if you're a man, say, you are the man. If you're a woman, say, you are the woman. It is your fault. It is your sin. It is your choice. It is your responsibility here. Now, I'm a little clear on this because it's very easy for us to try to rationalize our sin or try to make an excuse for it. Am I the only one here? Now, I hear three of you, okay? But look with me to Hebrews chapter 4, please. The book right before James, verse 15. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, we have a high priest who knows what we're going through. Okay? Who is this high priest? Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one who knows exactly what you and I are going through. So, even though it is my responsibility, I am not alone in this situation. Okay? He can sympathize with me. But one who has been tempted, how can he sympathize? Because he has been tempted in all things as we are, yet with what? Without sin. In other words, he is not just presenting the God who is holy and righteous, but the God who will stand with us. And you know, the minute we can admit our sin and our weakness, the quicker we can seek a solution. We said it before, our churches, that we are real people, living in real situations, seeking real solutions from a real God. And this is the real God in whom we love and we follow and we embrace, is the God who knows what we are going through and will stand with us. Amen. That we are not alone. Friends, no matter how hard it is, and sometimes it can be hard out there, life can be difficult, darkness can set in, loneliness, yes, even for Christians. But friends, let's not forget that we have one who will stand with us. When temptation gets strong, all we have to do is what? Cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Lord, shield me. Lord, protect me. First John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. We could come to Him and bask in the light, in the clarity of a vision for our purpose in life and and the path we must take. And to see around the corner, to be able to see where darkness hides and where temptation comes. Friends, sometimes we know these things. Sometimes we know this. But we don't stop and cry out. What did he say in the earlier passage that we saw last week? If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, who gives what? Liberally, generously. He is our God. If we ask Him, Lord, help me. I am blinded. Lord, my feelings, my emotions, my desires, my lusts are powerful, Lord. Help me. Friends, let's stop making excuses. Let's stop making excuses. Let's take on our responsibility. Look with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 9, please. We're going to do a little Bible flipping today, a little more so than we've been doing lately. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now the next phrase. Abhor what is evil. What does abhor mean? It is a strong word. It is a very strong word. A word that we don't use very much, right? Because we teach our children, you're not supposed to hate anybody. Okay? We're not supposed to hate. But friends, right here in God's Word, it says to hate what is evil? Hate what is evil. John MacArthur puts it this way. He says, we should not laugh at that which for Christ died for us. Why are we laughing at that? Abhor what is evil. Friends, if we're going to stop making excuses, we need to admit right here, right now, that we need to hate evil. And we need to walk away from it. We need to hate it. Despise it, and too often we caress it, too often we meditate on it, too often we allow it to influence us. But let's be careful, friends. We're not to take sin lightly, but we have to be careful with the warning in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed that he does not fall. Take heed that he does not fall. Come back with me to James 1, please. Stop making excuses. How many of you are good at making excuses? I got to raise both hands. Second thought is, keep your lust in check. Keep your lust in check. Okay? Look what he says here in verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Whose lust? The devil's? Your mother's? Your father's? No, your own lust. There is a traitor within us, and it's called lust. And it would turn its back on us so quickly. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Again, whether it's Eve looking at the forbidden fruit, David looking at Bathsheba, Herod enraptured with delight as he gazed upon his stepdaughter's dancing, lust abides. Lust abides, and we must keep it in check. We must give it to God. We must forsake it. We must repent. We must turn from it. Now, each of our lusts are different, right? And I think the last time we talked about this passage was that our temptations are custom made because they each tickle, fancy, massage that which we are given over to. Yes or no? And it appears that we find ourselves in situations far too often that allow for that to happen, and we must put up our guard. Now, I think some very good first steps, if you're an alcoholic, you shouldn't do what? You shouldn't hang out at the bar. You shouldn't hang out with your friends who drink. You shouldn't hang out with people who will encourage you or challenge you or intimidate you, right? If you're given to gambling, you shouldn't do what? Buy lottery tickets. Cross the street with your eyes closed. No, that's not it. If you're caught in pornography's grip, what do you need to do? Okay, that's one way. It used to be you had to go to certain bookstores. Now you can catch it on your internet, on your phone, on your tablet, on your web page, or where? In your mind. You know how those images are burned in your mind? No? It's like we don't have a screensaver that keeps images from being burned on our mind. Whatever the sin, you can and need to avoid the people, places that have a hold on you. But friends, those are only first steps. One other thing you can do with the web, there's programs that either filter it or send an email to an accountability partner that tells them where you've been on, what sites you visit on the internet. But friends, ultimately, those are just first steps. Because it really doesn't deal with the heart. Those are some first steps for you to catch a deep breath, to give you some space, to give you a chance to look to God. But friends, that's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough to keep you away from it. Just those first steps. Look with me to chapter 4. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 22. 222. Just give me, let me help you out here. The big, and statistically speaking about pornography, the largest and the quickest growing demographic group that are attracted by pornography is women. It's just a growing number. Verse 22. What is Paul, the mentor, teaching his younger protege, Timothy, a young pastor? What does he tell him? He says, now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, now, flee from youthful lusts. Flee. Run. Run the other way. You read Proverbs 5 and Proverbs 7 that talks about the adulterous woman, especially in chapter 7 where she stands out there for waiting for that naive fool, and the man is looking outside and he sees him. He says, "Oh, what poor young fool." And you see all this descriptive language of how she just draws him in. Friends, lust is powerful. It is. It's not to be taken lightly. He says, flee from youthful lust. Now, let's be careful here. This is not just a sexual connotation with lust, okay? It could be pride. It could be desire for wealth. It could be desire for power. It could be jealousy. It could be an argumentative spirit. So it's not just the sexual connotation here when we talk about lust. Okay, he says, flee youthful lust, but do what? Pursue righteousness. Press on. Pursue it. How do you keep your lust in check? Flee and pursue. You flee the lust and you pursue righteousness. You pursue God. You pursue holiness. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. With those, okay? Now, friends, if you're struggling, fellowship and accountability is priority. You are not made and created to be alone. You are to flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Find those who were walking and running with you towards God. And you know what? I'll tell you what. It's been said of firemen that they're running to the problem. They're running to the fire when everybody's running away from it. And that's what it's going to feel like sometimes. That you are in the minority. Where is everybody else? Why is everybody running that way? We need to be running this way to God. Flee. Pursue. Join with. Look with me to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Some of you heard, seen the commercial. I even forget what the commercial's for. The basketball player, Mutombo. Or he's blocking the shots. Or he just knocks stuff down. And what does he say? No, 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 not in my house. Friends, sometimes we have to do that with sin. I'm not going to let that thought in my mind. Steve told me, shared something with me, Steve over here. He said, I want God more than I want that. And sometimes we need to say that. I want God more than that temptation will ever bring me. And so, no, 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 not in my house, not in my heart, not in my head, not in my life. James 4:7. Paul told Timothy, flee and pursue. James is saying, submit to God. Surrender. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. One of the things, if you're fishing out in the wilderness, if you're fishing, for us in East LA, or Lake Lake, most of you are, I was thinking of Belvedere Park or Hollenbeck Park, but at Lake Lake, if you're out in the wilderness, they tell you to put your hands in the mud, rub your hands around a little, get all the perfumey smell, then you handle the bait and put it on the hook and throw it out there. I don't know if that's accurate. That's just what I was told. And maybe because I like to play in the mud, I do it anyway. But it's to get the scent off of you. Where am I going with this one? Resist the devil. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hands. You notice how bees are attracted to you when you have perfume or cologne on? You know, they smell something sweet, they're going after it. Friends, we want to be close to God, but we don't always want to give up the sin. We want to embrace God, but yet we want to be able to play around with the sin or the lust or the temptation, at least the thought. It's been said that we're ready to run from sin only to hide around the corner till it catches up with us. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. But friends, this is not something you do in the flesh. This is not something you do. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This doesn't just happen, friends. You're not strong enough. Okay? You're not strong. I'm not strong enough. I need God's help. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I heard my wife coughing, but I didn't see her sitting over there. Why is she messing with my head? Finally, what does Paul say? Be strong where? In myself. In my wisdom. In my strength. In my wealth. In my good looks. Well, I'm 0 for 5, I guess, but be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Friends, don't go to fight against sin by yourself. Don't go to fight sin unprepared. Okay? You have to go in His strength and in His might. And that happens as we apply His armor, which is custom for us, and He strengthens us and encourages and builds us that we might resist, so that if we have to flee, we can flee. Why? We're to gird our loins with truth. That means they pick up their robe and they tie it in such a way so that they can run and they're ready to move. But sometimes the situation calls for us to run away from sin. Sometimes the situation calls for us to stand. That's why we have the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and we shod our feet with the gospel of peace, that we can stand. And sometimes we need to run. Whether we're running for them, or we're running to stay away from the temptation. Come with me to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. Sorry for those of you who are new. Help the person next to you find these passages. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? What you're facing is not something that you're the first one to ever face that, okay? It's been done before, okay? And God is what? Faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it or bear it. But friends, are we really looking for that escape? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I remember one of my children, I told him, don't touch the TV. They did this. And they looked at me with a little bit of, I'm not touching it. Wanted to smack them anyway. Technically, he wasn't touching the TV. But rebelliously, he was pushing the boundaries. But friends, don't we do that? Don't we do that with God? When He says run, we stroll. When He says close your eyes, whatever it might be, we push the limits with God. We want to stay as close to the line so we can take a peek. Friends, no, not in my house. Stop making excuses. Keep your lust in check by turning to God, surrendering to God. And the third one we find, come back with me to James chapter 1. Resist the urge to settle for anything less than God's best. Resist the urge to settle for anything less than God's best. James chapter 1, verse 16, please. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. It's a double emphasis here. Beloved brethren. Brethren, brothers and sisters. United, one in Christ. My beloved brothers. We are to love our brothers and sisters, right? He adds the beloved brethren. My beloved brothers and sisters. My beloved. The ones whom I extremely love. Is almost what he's saying here. Do not be deceived. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. All that means is there's no change. God is the same. But it reflects back to what Paul said in Ephesians. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And he warns us about this. Don't be deceived. Satan, sin, temptation, the world will offer you a substitute. A substitute. They will try to distract you with other stuff. But remember this. Remember this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Every perfect gift, every good gift comes from above. Verse 18, in the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. Friends, God sends us His best. And we settle for crumbs. He sends us His best in our Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins, and we settle for doubt. He gave us everything pertaining to life and godliness, 1 Peter, but we settle for fear. He has promised to give us everything regarding that we need, but we settle for anxiety. Anxiousness. God offers us pure holiness, righteousness, and we settle for pornography. We settle for I can't even think of the word now. Corrupted relationships or poor choices. God offers us and gives to us His children. Everything you and I need. And too often, we're too quick to say, I'm done. I'm through. I'm tired. It's not worth it. Resist the urge to settle for anything less than God's best. There are no substitutes. Nothing compares. There is nothing better than what God offers us. Look with me to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. That's before 1 Corinthians. Verse 32. Speaking here of God the Father. God the Father did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us on the cross, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Are we convinced of that? Then why aren't we praying more? Why aren't we seeking God more? We want everything put in our hand. I can't tell you how many times James and I go to the refrigerator and we say, Sarah or Auntie, where's this at? It's right there. Move the milk carton over and it's right there. When did it get there? It wasn't there the last time I looked. God wants us to dig a little sometimes. God wants us to search a little. What does He say? Knock, ask, seek. It'll be open. It'll be given. You'll find it. You know, we want to ask. Maybe we'll knock, but we really aren't too good at seeking, are we? Forget it.
out the door.
I ain't got time. I'll go do it myself.
Seek is part of our responsibility, friends.
Resist the urge to settle for anything less than God's best.
When do we do that, friends?
When have you settled for less than God's best?
Huh? When does that happen in our lives?
Unfortunately, it happens more often than we're ready to admit. That we're ready to, we're too quick to want to say amen. And Jesus told the story in Luke about the persistent woman, the persistent neighbor. We're not going to change God's mind, but He wants to hear from us. How much do you really want that? You talk about athletes and they get there. They're the first ones on at the practice field and they're the last ones to leave the gym. Friends, we're afraid of the gym, aren't we? You know, we go in and we want to look cute. We want to look, you know, like we know what we're doing. Years ago, and I emphasize years ago, it was in the late 80s, I rode the 50-mile bicycle ride from Rosarito Beach to Ensenada. There was a long hill that looks like it's coming to an end, and you only goes further, and it's deceptive that way. One of the things that got me to the top was guys who had better physiques than me, had better bike clothing than me, had a much better bike. My bike was a 10-speed from Zodi's. If you don't know Zodi's, you missed out, okay? It was a little bit upscale Kmart. Not quite Target, but... And they were walking. Oh, man, I got this. No problem. I don't even know why I told that story. We are afraid, and we'd rather settle for some crumbs than to press for the full meal. Aren't we? Come with me to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Back to Hebrews 4. Verse 16. Therefore, verse 12, it said about the Word of God being active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It judges the intentions of the heart. There is nothing hidden. We have a high priest who has passed through the heavens. Verse 15, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, now because all this is true, let's draw near with confidence, with boldness, with assurance to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But we must do what? To find that help. Approach the throne of God with confidence, with boldness. Sometimes we feel unworthy. God's not going to accept me or receive me. I've asked Him too many times to bail me out. And God says to that, come. Come anyway. Come to me. Let's learn this. Let's grow with this. Come with calm. Why? Because I am a high priest who has understanding and I will stand with you. Does He discipline us because we abuse or neglect? Yes, He does. Okay? But that doesn't mean we can't come. We can come back to the throne for help. Let's do it, friends. Let's stop
this whole idea, I'm not worthy. You are not worthy. Let me just tell you straight out, you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. And God still says, come. Because of me. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of the Holy Spirit in you. Friends, we can come with confidence and boldness. I go back to the prodigal son. Go back to the prodigal son. Go back to Mary Magdalene. Go back to even King David. Go back to Peter, denied the Lord 3 times. Just on and on and on. The men and women who have tripped, stumbled, fell, made excuses, didn't keep their lust in check, and yet God in His grace and His mercy said, forgiven. Yes, repentance is part of that. We must come with a repentant heart. But God will receive us. You know, sometimes you're having a strange relationship with somebody. Offer the grace and mercy of God. See, what drew the prodigal son home, wasn't just his bad situation, okay? Because sometimes pride keeps us away, right? Sometimes pride keeps us away longer than we should stay away. But he remembered the love that is experienced in his father's house, even by the servants. And he was drawn back. Friends, taste and see that God is good. Why? So you would want to come back to that goodness, and you'll want to go back. Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. And friends, for some of us, that's every single day. Isn't it? Every single day. God will take what Satan tries to undo us with, to turn it around, to turn the tables on Satan, that we would be restored, that we would be strengthened, that we would be encouraged, that we would be filled with the confidence in God, so that whatever comes our way, we can resist, we can flee, we can stand strong, all for the glory of God. As a body of believers, we have a responsibility to help one another. Don't we? Yet, when we are in the midst of temptation or sin, we don't want anybody telling us anything. We usually come back with, who are you to judge? Who made you God? What, are you better than me? Friends, when a brother or sister comes to you to warn you, take a deep breath and listen. They may be saving you, sparing you from a ton of heartache. Put your pride down. Say, okay, because I know you love me enough to come and talk to me, I will listen. Friends, take those words and listen to them. Let them sink into your heart and say, God, is this you telling me to straighten up or to run the other way or to stand strong? My brother and sister loved me so much they came to talk to me. Though we've said it in the past, it's a lot easier to talk about people than to talk to people. But friends, we are here to help each other. God, the Holy Spirit in us, has called us to love one another, how? It's an F word. Fervently. Okay? Fervently. And maybe that means going to them and saying, this is what I see. These are some red flags. Not sure if it's fits you completely. But here's some red flags. Hey, I see some red flags with your kids. Hey, I see some red flags here. Please, please. Take it, listen to it, talk to God about it, and do what needs to happen. Follow Him. But friends, as a body of believers, don't just ignore the warning signs you see in your life or in someone else's life. Pray, God, open the door. Give me an opportunity. And friends, when somebody comes your way, listen and act responsibly in God's providence. That we would lift the name of Jesus through our accountability with one another, through our love for one another, through our desire to see Christ grow in each of us. Maybe this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's still not quite making sense. Stick with the Word of God. Stick with God. And He, in His time, will open your eyes that you might see and taste that He is good. Father, this morning we thank You. Thank You. Help us, Father, to be godly influences to those around us. Help us to speak Your truth. Help us to receive Your truth. Help us to allow You to transform us. And Father, as one pastor said, we come just as we are, but we can't stay the same. Transform us, Father, we pray. Help us to, with humility, help us to see that it is You and us, the hope of glory. Father, we thank You for Your precious promise. In Christ's name we pray. God's people said,